Okay. So this year is based on a few different ma'amarim from someone who we quote often in this year, Rav Pinchas Friedman, the Shvili Pinchas. So this week we begin the month of Adar, and we know that the month of Adar is a time of mazel, it's a time of good fortune for the Jewish people. In fact, the Gemara in Tainus Chaf Tet Amud Bet tells us, Amar Rav Papa l'chach bar Yisrael di Islei dina b'hadre nachri yishtamit mine ba'av d'riya mazelei. Ulemeitzi nafshe ba'adar divrei mazalei. Rav Papa says, therefore, a Jew who has litigation with a Gentile, let him avoid the month of Av. We know that when the Jew's misfortune is bad, we know that Av is not a lucky time for the Jewish people. And he should make himself available. When should he set up this litigation in Adar? Because that's when his fortune is good. And additionally, the Gemara in Beitza Ted Vav Amabet says, "Harotseshis kaimu nechasav hitabahen edar shneamar adir b'marim Hashem." Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, son of Shimon, he says, "One who wants his properties to be preserved and protected from ruin, he should plant an edar tree among them, like the pasuk says, adir b'marim Hashem, the Lord on high is mighty." And Rashi there comments, "Shneamar adir b'marim klomar sheadar lashon kiyum v'chozek." L'kach nikra Adar, that the word Adar, the name of our month, comes from kiyom, establish, and chozek, strength, and therefore it's called Adar. So the question is, why is Adar considered a lucky time in which we preserve and we protect our properties and our physical possessions and our livelihood? Additionally, you know, during Adar, we know we remember and commemorate the great salvation that occurred to the Jewish people in the times of Mordechai and Esther. Haman wanted to annihilate the Jewish people, and v'nahapochu, everything was turned upside down, and his plans were overturned, and the Jewish people were saved. But it's not only during the month of Adar that we remember this great miracle. Each and every Matzei Shabbos, we say in Havdalah, La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sosam V'Yikar, a line from the Megillah describing the outcome of this great nace. So why did Chazal place this pasuk about the nace of Purim in Havdalah? Furthermore, the Chasam Sofer writes in his Drashos that Chazal established the recitation of the bracha on Besamim during Havdalah, Keneged Mordechai and Esther, who are each both compared to Besamim. We know Mordechai comes from Mor, drawer, you know, this incense, this spice, and Esther is Hadassah. Hadassah is the myrtle branch. So what then is the connection between Purim and Havdalah? Also, when one reads through the Megillah, there's not even one mention of Hashem's name throughout the story. Why did Mordechai decide not to mention it, even once, in a Megillah that was written and preserved for generations? And while Mordechai does not write Hashem's names explicitly in the Megillah, there are numerous remazim, there are numerous hints to Hashem's name, as revealed by the Arizal and many others, like Rashi Tevos, the beginning letter of each word. For example, the pasuk Yavo Hamelech v'Haman Hayom, that when Esther invites Haman and Ahasuerus to the party, the beginning is Yud, Yavo, Hamelech, Hey, V'Haman, Vav, Hayom, Hey, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or there are others that you look at the Sofei Tevos, the last letter of each word. For example, Ki Kalsa Elav Hara'ah. Ki Yud Kalsa Hey Elav Vav Hara'ah Hey. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And this pasuk was when something that Haman said at Esther's party, he saw that evil had been determined against him. You know, in fact, the Medrash Haggadah tells us that the name Ahasuerus actually refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ahasuerus de HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'achris v'reishis shelo. The name Ahasuerus refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the achris, the end, v'reishis, in the beginning, is all his. So why did Mordechai choose to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu this name? And how does the concept of achris v'reishis shelo, the end and the beginning is all his, connect to the miracle of Purim? So the Kedusha Slevi explains that there's a big difference between the miracle that occurred during Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we commemorate on Pesach, and that which occurred during Purim. Now, Yetzias Mitzrayim was completely supernatural. All the miracles were above the laws of Teva, were above and beyond the natural. Hashem completely changed the laws of nature and the order of creation in order for them to occur. Starting with the 10 Makos, the water changed to blood, the houses were filled with frogs, and then with lice. Light was changed into darkness, and then all the firstborn sons were all died in the same night, ending with the grand finale of Kriyas Yamsuf, where the water was transformed into dry land for the Jews, and then it was once again transformed back into a sea for the Egyptians. All amazing supernatural occurrences. And in contrast, we have the miracle of Purim, which is completely clothed in the natural, right? There's a king, his name is Ahasuerus, he gets drunk, and he puts his wife to death, and as a result, he picks a new queen, who is Esther. And then there's this evil man, who's Haman, who's a descendant of Amalek, and he has this immense hatred towards the Jewish people, and he wants to destroy them. But it was Ahasuerus' love for his wife Esther that nullified the decree, and then Haman was hung on the tree meant for Mordechai. And we see that the laws of nature were not changed nor suspended for all of these things to occur. Even though one can recognize Hashem's hands in all of this and how he guided the natural in order to save Klal Yisrael, it all was once again in the course of natural events. The Bnei Yisachar, he writes, "Dehinei b'Nisan niskalu nisim nigalim levay olam." In the month of Nisan, there were these, revealed miracles for all of the world. "V'nitzkala l'kol ki Hashem yiparach mishadeid ha-ma'aracha kochvei ha-shamayim v'kisileihem." And it was revealed to all that Hashem really designs all the systems and the stars and all the things that go on. "Ava hanagot ha-teva, eich Hashem yiparach manhigem b'chavtso v'ratono, v'hashkato al kol prat v'prat ha-kol b'hashkacha nifla'a." Right? It was clear to all that Hashem is controlling this all based on His will. And this unbelievable hashkacha, this unbelievable, involvement and watching over. But it wasn't so clear to all that when it came to the laws of nature, the natural world, that Hashem was the one who was, watching over and involved. Yes, sorry.
So you said it was clear to all at the Purim time?
No, during Pesach it was clear to all that Hashem was behind this. Obviously, the water is changing into dry land. But when those things showed us, wow, when it comes to these supernatural miracles, clearly God is involved. But then we come to all these natural things and it wasn't so clear to all that Hashem was really involved in it. Many people thought that, when it came to the laws of nature, God handed over all of these things to the zodiac signs, to the constellations, to the stars, etc. So basically, there are many who thought that, when it came to the laws of nature, God handed that over to, the stars, etc. Except when God decided to step back in and he wanted to change the laws of nature for a nace. Then he was involved. But when it came to all the day-to-day things, all the things that happened within the confines of the laws of nature, no, that God kind of handed over. But when it came to the miracle that happened to the Jewish people in the month of Adar, the nace was natural. He didn't change the order of creation or the order of nature. But nevertheless, when it came to this very natural nace, this natural miracle, it was known to all that, wait a second, it's not just a lot of coincidences. God's hand was very much involved in orchestrating this great miracle. Lo nistafek shum ben adam lamar shaya inyan b'mikra. There was not a suffix, there was not a doubt in anyone's mind that this was just happenstance and chance. Oh, it happened to be that he killed Vashti. And it happened to be that he chose Esther. And it happened to be that Esther is Jewish. And it happened... No. Nobody said it happened to be without Bezulat Hashkachat HaMashgiach, that all these things happened without God watching over and intervening. Az nitvada l'kol shegam hanagat hateva hu hakol b'hashkacha nifla'a me'ed HaMashgiach Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. And what happened during Adar? What happened during the miracle of Purim? It was clear and it became known to all that what? Even within the natural, even within the laws of nature, God is very much involved, and God is very much running the show and pulling the strings. There are nisim like those that happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim that are lamala min hateva. These are they're supernatural, and they show us that the Creator of the world, you know, can suspend and change nature according to His will. But there is a danger when it comes to the natural occurrences that people can think, you know what, God gave it over to the zodiac signs, to the constellations, to the sun, moon, and stars, and is not involved in how they run. And this actually happened to those who left Mitzrayim. You know, they saw all these amazing supernatural miracles, and nevertheless, what happens? They asked, Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu imayin, perek yudzayin pasuk zayin. Is Hashem within us or not? Is He within our midst? When you think about this, they saw the amazing supernatural things, all the makos, the kriyas yamsuf, how all the Mitzrayim drowned and they walked out scot-free, and yet they were able to say a short while later, is God amongst us? Did they not believe in God? No. But they were questioning, wait a second, is God involved in the natural? Is God involved in the day-to-day? They were mistaken to think that when life returned to the natural, it was given over and it was run by the constellations and the zodiac signs. But through the miracles of Hanukkah, and specifically here, Purim, that were embedded within the natural, nature was not suspended. It was revealed to all that not only can Hashem nullify and change the natural, but He can guide and direct the natural according to His will. And it's for this reason that the Maggid of Mezrich explains why Anshei Knesset HaGedolah called the Megillah Megillas Esther. Megillah comes from the word Giloy, to reveal. And Esther comes from the word Hester, which means hidden, to teach us that by reading the Megillah, which tells us about the great miracle of Purim, we reveal the light of Hashem, which is hidden and clothed within nature. Yeah. When we read the Megillah, we are able to reveal the light of Hashem. We were able to reveal Hashem's hand that is embedded and clothed within the natural. And it's based on this that we can understand why Hashem's name is not written in the Megillah explicitly, but rather it's only hinted to. When a miracle is supernatural, it's clear to all that Hashem performed the miracle. You know, it's as if the miracle itself is in the name of Hashem. This is Hashem's stamp. It's clear as day. It's not just hinted at, but when the miracle is wrapped and closed in nature, at first glance, it doesn't appear that Hashem did it. You know, but a believer who looks closely at the sequence of events and connects the details and the dots, he sees that nothing was by chance, but rather that there is a leader who orchestrated the events. And it's therefore that Hashem's name is not mentioned explicitly in the Megillah, but rather it's hinted at with the Rashi Tevos, with the beginning letters of the words, or the Safei Tevos, the end letters of the words, of a combination of words to hint to us that if you want to see Hashem's name, if you want to see Hashem's hand and Hashem's involvement and His hashkacha in the natural, you need to put together the pieces. You need to put together the letters and piece together details and events. And then once you sew together the tapestry of the events that occurred, it's clear to all that you can see Hashem and His name and His unbelievable hashkacha, and that He is really there in all of His glory. And the reason that Hashem's name is hinted to with the Rashi Tevos and the Safei Tevos is to allude to what the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Dalet, Pasuk Vav says, Komar Hashem Melch Yisrael Vagolo, so says Hashem, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, Ani Rishon, I am first, Va'ani Acharon, and I am last, Umebaladai Ein Elokim. Without me, there is no other God. The fact that Hashem's name is found at the beginning and the ends of the words hints to this concept of Ani Rishon v'Ani Acharon. I am there at the beginning. I am there at the end. I am always there. It may not be clear to us at that very moment, but once we connect the dots in the story, we take the first letter of each word, a number of events, either from the beginning or from the end, we can very clearly see, there's the Yud, there's the K, there's the Vav, there's the K. There is the name of Hashem. Hashem is there intervening and watching over and pulling all the strings. Because Hashem's hand is hidden in the ways of nature, a person cannot reveal his hashkacha without looking at the events unfolded. May Rashis, from the beginning, ad achris, so to the very end. And this is the idea that the Chasam Sofer brings on the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Gimel Chaf Gimel. We say the pasuk says, "Varita et acharai upanai lo yeirau." You, Hashem says to Moshe, you can see my acharai, my backside, but you cannot see my face. Right? When we look at this, the end of a string of events from beginning to end, then we can begin to see from every side Hashem's hashkacha, from every angle. And that nothing happened was by chance or by circumstance. It was all due to Hashem's hashkacha, causing and enabling things to occur. It's when a person can see the full picture at the end of the story, he can then look back at all the details and reveal the Yad Hashem within the natural occurrences. You think of the story of Purim, and you think of, okay, Ahasuerus is a little bit of a crazy king. He was drunk. You know, he ordered his wife, Vashti, you know, to be killed. And then he had a whole thing. And he was looking for a new queen. And Esther was taken for such a long time. You know, when you look at each event, they might seem strange. And you don't really understand what's going on behind it. But when you look at the end and you take a step back and you reflect upon what happened, it's very clear to see in all of these things how it was Yad Hashem. How each thing was setting up the stage for what was going to happen afterwards. And sometimes you have to look, you know, to the beginning, to the Rashi Tevos. Yavo HaMelech VaHaman Hayom, Yud Kei Vav Kei, to remind ourselves, Ani Rishon, I was Hashem at the beginning. I was there from the very start, pulling the strings. And we could see how Hashem had it, that Haman caused Vashti to be killed, planting the refuah lifnei hamaka, the remedy before the plague. And sometimes you have to look at the Safi tables. You have to look at what happens later on. Ki kalta elav hara, yud kei vav kei. You know, that Haman says, bad things were, evil things were determined against me, to remind us that Hashem is ani acharon. I am there at the end. We have to look at the events that follow, at the Safi tables, at the ends of the words, and that will reveal to all who are reading the Megillah, and it engraves in our hearts, umibaladai ein Elokim, that there is no other God, there is no other master other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He is running the world, not only in the supernatural, but very much in the natural. So sometimes we need to look back towards the beginning. Sometimes we need to look forward to what's going to happen afterwards. And once we look at those things, we could say, oh, wow, we can really see Yad Hashem, or, you know, how things happen. Sometimes we don't know why things are happening to us, but in the end, when the story comes to a full picture, we could say, wow, I really see how God was pulling the strings. And it's based on this that we can understand why Mordechai chose to mention Hashem in the Megillah with the description of Achashverosh. Sha'achris Vereshis Shalom, that the end and the beginning are all His, in order to teach us that the entire nace of Purim is garbed in the natural, and the light of Hashem is only revealed when you connect the events from the beginning, Mereshis, until the end, Ad Achris. You need to look for Hashem both in the Rashi Tevos, in the beginning of the words, and in the events that precede, and in the Safi Tevos, in the events that follow, in order to really see Hashem's hand. He is Achashverosh. He is there from beginning to end. But sometimes we need to look at the events in the big picture in order to see His hand. And the Chasam Sofer, in his Sefer Toras Moshe, explains this very concept on the pasuk in which Hashem says to Moshe, "Vera'ita et achorai," you could see, you know, my back, "Upanai lo yeirau," but you cannot see my face. And he writes, "Yesh lomar al pi remez." We could say that what is this pasuk hinting to? Obviously, there's the pshat, but then there's this deeper, the remez that Hashem is telling us. Hine anu ro'in kama dvarim sibot masibot shonot hanasim ba'aretz mitachat. We see a lot of different things that happen down here on earth, right? Asher anu mitamim lama asha Hashem yiparach kacha. And so many times we wonder, wait a second, why is God doing this? This seems maybe bizarre to us. Aval la'achar rabot hazman, but after, you know, a period of time, anoruim umevinin lemafreya hakol, we see and we understand afterwards, when we look back, lemafreya hakol, we understand why it happened. Kasher lekol kol hasibot tachlit kavanatam ki kulam hayu hachano kidei sheyaseh davar gadol kazeh. Because all of these things had reasons. They were all in preparation so that such and such can occur, this great thing, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. U'kasher haya b'neis Purim. And this is exactly what happens when? During the miracle of Purim. Harigat Vashti, we had the killing of Vashti, v'lekichat Esther, and Esther was then taken. V'kol ha'sibot she'asevivu l'dvar hazeh. And all the things that caused these events to happen. Hakol haya hachana lahatzalat Yisrael. All of these things were in preparation for the saving of Klal Yisrael. Aval koldim shenasa pitgam hamelach in anu mevinim rak maminim bilisa fake lo davar reku. But when they started to happen at the beginning, like, oh, Achashverosh decided to kill his wife, and now he chose this new queen. You know, we didn't understand what was going on. We just knew because of our emunah, of our great belief and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that clearly these things are not rake. They're not empty. They're not for naught. Rak mimenu ta'am hadavar kamus v'na'alam. But the reason for it is, at this point, it's a secret and it's hidden. V'zehe amuna tova gdola hu lanu ki mekablim schar al ha'amuna. And this is the great faith that we have, that we receive reward for. V'zeve ra'ita et acharai. And this is what the pasuk is saying. You can see my backside. Meaning, la'achar shena'aseh tachlis hadavar, te'rev et havin l'men afreya, ma sha'ya u ma shena'aseh, aval lefanai lo yera'u. Meaning what? What does it mean that you could see my back? Meaning at the end, when the whole thing happened, when there's the grand picture, then you could see, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. But beforehand, at the beginning, panai, face to face, when it's starting to happen, lo yera'u. You won't be able to see it. Meaning, you won't be able to understand what is going on. Kodem asiyat hadavar lo yiru v'lo yavinu tachlito. You're not going to understand when the thing is just transpiring, why it's happening, and what the purpose is. V'zeh v'panai lo yirau. And this is what the pasuk means when Hashem says, Moshe, you can't see my face. When things are happening, you won't understand at that point from the outset why these things are occurring. But you will be able to see acharai. You will be able to connect the dots when you reflect back on the picture, when you are able to connect different events.
So it just makes me think that all the things that happened
that's exactly what we said. We said that the way God did this nace was to show us that in our everyday occurrences. But again, you know, people can be punished for what they do, but in the end of the day, people have free will. That's the way the world operates. God knows what people are going to do. God knows what they're going to choose, but they still have, you know, the free will to choose it. But He did orchestrate the events so that He was able to, you know, save the Jewish people. And the Pri Tzadik, Rav Tzadok, brings down a similar idea. He quotes the Ishbitzer, the Me'a Shiloh, and says, V'ra'ita et achorai v'chule, this pasuk that we keep on quoting, you can see my back. V'shamati mirabbeinu hakadosh, zuchos tzadik hakadosh, shehefrish hu she'achar hamaisa achorai, that he explains, the Me'a Shiloh, that afterwards, after the event happens, he kier takeif Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom ha'omek v'hatova hatzafun bo. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to clearly see. He saw well the depth of the good that was embedded within it. Aval shetavin mikodem hatova alze ne'amar upanai lo yira'u. But when we try to understand the depth of what is so great and what's happening, it's hard to understand. V'zeh shetirgum onkelis v'techazei yad it's hard to believe, to understand at the beginning that it was really good. And this is really the truth. All the exiles and all the suffering, it's really for good. But when we're standing in that moment, when we're standing in the challenge, when we are suffering, it's hard to see that. And that's what the pasuk says. You know, you can't see my face. You won't be able to see and understand this and be living. And this is really, you know, the springboard for a very big discussion of, you know, why bad things are happening to good people, why people are suffering, etc. And the answer is that, you know, at the point we can't really see it, only in retrospect. And this is exactly in actually Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, and that's really a whole nother shiur, but one always story that I like to to give just to illustrate such a point beyond the miracle of Purim is, you know, there was once a boy who was, you know, a young boy. He was in school, preschool. He was learning to, you know, to write the ABCs, and he was really blossoming, and he was playing on the playground, and of course, like all children, swinging on the monkey bars, he fell down and he broke his arm. Right? And you think at that point, ay vey, like it's so terrible and he's suffering and he's in pain and now he's going to be behind the class because they're all learning to write and his hand's going to be in a cast for 6 weeks and now he can't play and socialize. And you can go on a whole bunch of things. I mean, in the grand scheme of life, is it the worst thing in the world? No, but it's, you know, it's not one of the things it's on your bucket list of, oh, I want that to happen to me or to my children, etc. But it happens to be that, again, when you see the full story, after he went for the x-ray and he went to get his arm set in the cast, they saw in the x-ray that there was a tumor in his arm. So in the grand scheme of things, you know, at the end when you saw the full picture, and we're, you know, we see that it was actually good. Unfortunately, we don't always know when the full picture comes, you know, comes. But that's, you know, that's what we, you know, that's what this pasuk is telling us, and that's what the Nes of Purim is. That sometimes we have to connect the dots, and we look back, and we see Hashem was there the whole time, pulling the strings. Sometimes we have to look forward to what else will happen afterwards. But either way, once you connect the dots, you see the Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. You see the name of Hashem. You see that He's Achashverosh. He's the Achris and the Rishis. He's there from the beginning and till the end. And it's based on this idea that the Chasam Sofer in his Drashos writes that a person actually has to reflect in the end of his days on all that Hashem did for him, from the beginning and continuously. And he writes, "Dehine hanesim hagdolim hanifla'im hanikarim v'yaduim kikriyas yamsef ahadoma hunikar lakol." Again, we go back to the miracles of Pesach, which are the perfect example of the supernatural. It's clear to all. There's nobody who could say, "Oh, you know, that wasn't God. It just happened to be that the water changed to blood. It happened to be that the water, you know, formed walls and became dry land. It happened to be." But the hidden miracles, you know, that are in the natural, that the person that it's happening to can't necessarily recognize the miracle, could go in Harigas Vashti, like, you know, if you were living at that time when Vashti was killed, I don't know if the Jewish people then were saying, oh my gosh, look at this amazing miracle that God did. Ahasuerus killed his wife. They probably thought, oh my gosh, this guy's a little crazy. He got drunk and, you know, look what he did. I pity his next wife, you know? But now, when we see it, there's no doubt that the killing of Vashti was all a preparation to the things that were going to happen afterwards. And again, what happens, you know, afterwards when Esther was taken for 3 years to the king's palace. But at that point, nobody knew why this was happening, why Esther was being taken. And then we have another seemingly distinct, you know, separate event. Oh, there's these two guards, and they're plotting against the king, and Mordechai overhears them, and he tells the king, and he saves his life. He also, it's, you know, when you look at that event, you don't think, oh my gosh, that event that two of Achashverosh's, you know, guards were looking to plot against him is somehow connected to the fact that Vashti was killed. And again, what happens? Haman is again, you know, elevated, and we don't know why that's happening or what's going to become of it. Ad lebasof. But when did we see, wow, all the great things that happened? At the end, when the great miracle occurred. At that point, when you reflect back, and you see all the things that happened, you can see how killing Vashti was like Kriyas Yamsuf, was like the splitting of the sea. Ela she'ein balanis makir ben yiso. But there are times that a person who God is performing the miracle for, he can't necessarily recognize the miracle. This is what the Parsha Zrachim says. There's a pasuk in the Tehillim that says, God performs miracles alone. And he explains, what does this mean that God does miracles alone? Meaning, when God is performing that miracle, nobody knows that it's a miracle. Only God himself. For example, the killing of Vashti. When Vashti was killed, No one said, oh my goodness, look at these amazing miracles that God is doing. Who knew that it was a miracle? God himself. God does great miracles, and he alone is the only one who knows that at that time that the great miracle is occurring. Nevertheless, even though we don't know at that time that God performed a great miracle at the end of our days, and then therefore when we come and we can look back and reflect, we have to look back and see, it's a mitzvah for us to look back and reflect and see all of the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us from the beginning of our days, you know, till that point that we are. And not only that, we need to tell our children about these things that he did for us. So that they too will be able to recognize and see the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. You know, in the natural order of the world, it's easy to forget that Hashem is very much involved and he's pulling the strings and he's orchestrating great things. It's precisely the story of Purim and the message of Adar which reminds us to look for Hashem in the events at hand, and that the Achris, the end, and the Reishis, is the beginning, is all his. He is there, and when we reflect upon them, when we reflect upon the events, his hand becomes clear to all. In fact, the name of the month of Adar is short for Alufo Dar. Alufo means Hashem, the master of the universe, Dar, dwells. He is very much present and involved in all aspects of the world. His Hashkacha is on all. Alufo, Hashem, the master of the universe, Dar. He dwells. He's involved. He's here. He is Mashkiach. He watches over, etc. And it's for this reason that the Gemara in Beitza says, Harotzeh sheyiskaimu nechasav yitabahen edar. A person who wants his, you know, possessions to be quote unquote established, he should plant an Adar, this type of tree. Adar, milashon Adar, right? Shene Amar Adir Bamar Masham, like the Pasuk in Tehillim says, right? And the Bnei Yisachar explains based on the warning the Torah gave us, he explains this Gemara based on the warning that the Torah gives us when a person amasses great wealth. In Sefer Devarim, Parachet, Pasuk Yidalef, the Pasuk says, Hishamar lecha pentishkach et Hashem elokecha. You have to be careful lest you forget Hashem your God. Pentochal, maybe you'll eat, v'safata, and then you'll become satisfied. Ubatim tovim tivneh v'yashavta. You know, you'll build these beautiful houses and you'll live. You'll live there. V'tzoncha yarbiyun. And you're going to amass great things. You'll have a lot of sheep and cattle, possessions, v'kesef v'zahav yarbelecha, and you'll amass material wealth, silver and gold. You'll do very well in your chosen field, in your professional life. V'kol asher lecha yarbeh, and everything you're involved with, you'll be well. You'll have everything and more than you need. You'll be able to amass not only livelihood but wealth, etc. V'ram levavecha, and what could happen? Your heart can become haughty. V'shachachta et Hashem elokecha. And you will forget Hashem your God, Hamotziach Me'aretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim, the God that took you out of Egypt and from the house of slavery. Ve'amarta b'vavecha. And what will you say in your heart? Kochi ve'otem yadi asali et hachayel hazeh. It is my strength and my hands that allowed me to become as successful as I am. Oh, I went to medical school. I studied hard. Obviously, I became a successful doctor. You know, I'm so smart. I knew exactly what real estate deal to make. Clearly, it was all me. What does the pasuk say? V'zacharta es Hashem Elokecha. You must remember Hashem, your God. Ki hu hanosein lecha kayach lasos chayal. Because he is the one who gives you the strength to do, to perform and to achieve, etc. We have already explained the difference between the miracles of Pesach and the miracles of Purim. We said the miracles of Pesach were supernatural, while the miracles of Purim were embedded within nature. In order to teach us that what? that the natural world is under Hashem's hashkacha, and that nothing is happenstance. And this is the explanation of the Gemara, how Rotseshias Kaimun Nechasav Yitabahan Engzar, that if you want your livelihood, your possessions to have be established, to have a kiyum, you need to plant within the Adar. You need to implant them with Adar. Meaning that a person has to plant the emuna of Chodesh Adar. What does that mean? What happens in Adar? Adar is the time when Hashem's hashkacha in the teva, in the natural, was revealed. And it's with this that his possessions will be established. And they won't fall prey to the yetzer of kochi ve'otan yadi, that this was all me. That's what the Gemara is telling us. You want to be successful? You want your livelihood to be established? What do you have to do? You have to implant it with Adar. You have to implant it with Adar. What was the recognition that we came to in the month of Adar? That even when things seem natural, Hashem is there. Even when I study hard and I become a good doctor and I'm successful, you got to remember that even in these natural events, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And he writes, Dehenei b'nei son, itzgalu nisim negalim levai olam. Like we said, in the month of Nisan, there were grand miracles, and it was all revealed to the world. Aval hanhagat hateva, eich Hashem yibarachman, higein b'chavtso v'ritzono b'ashkato, al kol prad v'prad, hakol ashkacha nifla'a. Lo netameit adayin l'kol b'ai olam. V'hinei b'ag, right? We had this thing about, everyone saw in the natural, that in the supernatural, that God's there. But what about in the natural? What about in the day-to-day occurrences? It wasn't so clear to all. But when it came to the miracle that happened in the month of Adar, the nes was natural. There was no changing of the laws of nature, of the system of the world. It became known to all. It was revealed to all that even within the natural, it's all the Yad Hashem, it's all Hashem's hand, and He is the one who is being Mashgiach, who is watching over and very much orchestrating and involved in these events. Memela. Therefore, kol eske ha'olam v'kol inyanav shekona ha'adam, osher v'nesach therefore, we can see and we can understand that what? All of the things in this world that we buy and that we're involved with and that we amass wealth and possessions, the fact that we're able to do that is all also within the hashkacha, the hands of Hashem, that God is very much watching over and involved in that as well. And therefore, man should not say, that, oh, why am I so successful? Because I'm so smart and I'm so talented. It's all my strength and my effort. Me, me, me. I'm the one who did this. Rak yada im levavo, he should know in his heart, that Hashem is the Mashkiach. Hashem is the one who's watching over, and He is the all powerful. He is the one who is giving him the strength and the ability and the opportunities to be and achieve, to be successful and achieve success. But if a person forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, it's all me, I'm the one who did this, I caused my own success, his nechasim, his possessions, will not be established, they won't have a kiyum, they won't be able to last, because why? He's forgetting a key part of the picture. V'zehu sher ramzu chazal, and this is what the chazal hinted to in our Gemara HaRotzeshi, it's kamu nechasav. If you want your possessions to be established, if you want them to have continuity, if you want it to last, Yitabahan Adar. You have to plant within it the Adar. You have to implant it with Adar. Hainu Yitabahan Inyan Hanirtseba Adar. You got to implant within yourself, within your possessions, within your mindset. You need to implant it with Adar. The lessons that we learn during the month of Adar. Shaya Nes Muflag Bateva, that there was an unbelievable miracle that happened within the natural. Litvadal Hagalot Shekol Hakol Bahashkacha Nifla'a. Gam kol ha'inyanim ha'nasa b'teva. That it was revealed to us that even within, you know, the nature, a great miracle occurred, and that God is very much involved in all of those things as well. And it is therefore that if a person wants success and if he wants continuity with his possessions, he has to take the lesson of Adar. He has to implant and imbue the goals of Adar to acknowledge and reveal Hashem's Hashkacha in the realm of the natural. And it's based on this that we can understand why Chazal chose to remind us of the Nes of Purim, specifically at Havdalah. When we, you know, what do we do at Havdalah? We separate Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. On Shabbos, Malacha, work is prohibited, right? And therefore, we don't involve ourselves in anything pertaining to Parnassah, in anything in pertaining to livelihood. However, when Matzei Shabbos comes, when Shabbos is over, and we leave the holiness of Shabbos, and once again, we involve ourselves in Malacha, in our livelihoods, in our Parnassah, in the day-to-day activities, the danger exists that we're going to fall prey to the Yetzer of Kochi Va'otzem Yadi. Oh, it's me, my strength, my talent, my ability that causes all these things. It is my effort and my work that brings about success. Therefore, Chazal reminds us of the Purim miracle, where it became clear to all that Hashem runs the world. And the day-to-day events of nature, in order to instill within us the message of Adar, and therefore enable our success, as the Gemara says, HaRotzeh SheYitzkaymu Nechasav Yitzah Behen Adar. That if you want to be successful, you have to remember, you have to implant it with Adar. And therefore, at this juncture, when we leave Shabbos and we go into the world, we go into the natural events, we need to remember and take with us the lessons of Purim, the lessons of Adar, that God is there and He is very much involved in controlling nature. It is not Kochi Va'otzem Yadi. It's not only me and my success. There is somebody there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives me the kayach, who gives me the strength, the ability, the skills, etc. And it's when a person can take the lessons of Purim and implant his life with the perspective of Adar, the ability to look back and connect events, seeing the hands of Hashem in the world and in his life, and recognizing Hashem's hashkacha, Hashem's involvement in all, that he can bring success and mazel into his life, into the life of his family and into the world at large. So as we enter Rosh Chodesh, we start with Adar this week. Let us remember what lessons we are to take from the month of Adar. Let us look at the world through the lens of Adar, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in all the day-to-day things, and remembering that even when things occur, sometimes I can't see it at that point, but I need to remember that the Achrus and the Rishis Shelo, I need to remember that from the beginning to the end, Hashem is there. Sometimes I need to look at the Rashi Tevos, I need to look at to the beginning. Sometimes I need to look to the Safi Tevos, to things that occur afterwards, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in all of His glory. We just need to put on the glasses of Adar to be able to see it.